May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You would have all noticed that traditionally, so many people wear poppies at this time of the year. Karen, in the earlier talk, had taken time to explain what the poppy stands for. It is so easy to be drawn to traditions and rituals, while paying little attention to its meaning. But one may pause to ask, why is it that, or how come, that the poppies all suddenly disappear by the 12th and 13th of November? So then why do we wear poppies or participate in the act of remembrance? Earlier on, it has been said that perhaps in response to this, one may say that the poppies were the first flowers to flourish on the battlefields of the First World War. And the importance of the poppy as a lasting memorial symbol to the fallen, was first believed to have been first recognized by the Canadian military doctor, Major John McCrae, in his poem, In the Flanders Field. The poppy came to represent the immeasurable sacrifice made by those who died in World War I and later conflicts. It was later adopted by the Royal British Legion as the symbol for the poppy appeal in aid of those serving in the British Armed Forces after its formation in 1921. The First World War was the first mechanized war in which tanks and machine guns replaced cavalry rifles. It was the first war in which planes were used to draw bombs and gas, and it was the first war to use heavy artillery. Millions of soldiers on all sides were killed or injured, as were many civilians. And I'd like you to pause for a moment and see if you can imagine how it will have felt in those years. The danger, the starvation, the pain that millions went through. A generation of young men across Europe, and indeed the Commonwealth, was nearly entirely lost. The scale and the horror of the war was such that it seemed impossible and unthinkable that it could be repeated, and so many called it the war to end all wars. Unfortunately, we know that notwithstanding the sacrifices of so many lives on the battlefield, it was not the war to end all wars. And that many million lives have been lost subsequently in all the wars and conflicts that have filled the century around the world. Again, I would like you to think for a moment that the names we have in our war memorials, the names we have outside of the vestibule, they're the names of people who lived, people who loved their country. It's not just the name of anything, the name of people. People like you and I, people who were willing to go extra mile to make sacrifices for our peace. And perhaps taking our minds back to those moments might help us in our day-to-day living today to find ways of fostering the peace And even now that we are here, there are men and women out there in the battlefield who are putting their lives on the line for our security. They are willing to die. And you can imagine the pain that families whose children, wives, husbands are out there in the battlefield, what might be going on in their minds right now. On this Remembrance Sunday, we pause to remember, to honor the men and women from our community who gave their lives in the service of our country. The men we are remembering made the ultimate sacrifice. They left their homes and families. Some of them received short basic trainings. They went out into the battlefield. Many of them were killed. They never made it back home. How we remember and what we do with our remembering matters. What we do, not just today, but what we do from Tuesday really matters. Right remembering is about more than setting aside a day in a year to remind ourselves of the fact of the war. Remembering rightly is about how we live in the light of the sacrifices and pains of those who have gone ahead of us. It's about how we live as individuals, as a community, and as a nation that makes the remembrance most important. In that short passage that Liz read to us, the word love is used 9 times. Now, you might want to check that out when you go home. Love is mentioned 9 times in that very short passage. We are created in the image and likeness of a loving God for the express purpose of being a loving people. This passage says twice in plain and simple terms that we should love one another. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. As God's people, we look up to Jesus, who is our role model and guide. If you are serious about loving people like Jesus, it will be costly, because Jesus is the one who calls us and he says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And that's really hard, isn't it? Very, very hard. Praying for those who are your enemies. I would suggest in this service that if we are to take the command to love one another seriously, and if we understand that Christ went to the cross to overcome our separation from God and from each other, then our Remembrance Sunday will be most meaningful. And the peace we seek in the world will not be far. We live in a very divided society and divided world. We've seen this in our country following the Brexit vote. And I suppose even here in the sanctuary, people are on different angles of the argument. And the tension and fear that exists between different people, we have seen that in the last few years. We've seen that there are increasingly more angry people on the street. As God's people, we are called to commit ourselves to the task of peace. Peace in our congregations, peace in our community, peace among our friends and families. Mother Teresa once said, not all of us can do great things, but we can all do small things with great love. So let us commit ourselves to responsible living and faithful service. Let us strive for all that makes for peace. Let us seek to heal the wounds of division. And let us do this by following Jesus' example, who calls us to love one another as he has loved us. And before we take the next hymn, I'll invite you to do something a little bit which we tried out on Thursday. I suppose you have your puppy. If you have it or you don't have it, I will invite you to look at the puppy of the person next to you. Now, puppies are very bright and beautiful. What I would like you to do in a moment before we sing the next hymn is to take just a wee moment to give thanks for those who have died in war. Can we please do that together in silence? Just give thanks. And give thanks for the good things they've done for their families and for our country. Again, I'll invite you to look at the red petals, the red part of the poppy. Red reminds us of danger and harm. We had earlier said it represents blood. In silence, could you please ask God to be close to those who are still facing danger each day, to give courage to the armed forces and compassion to all who help others. Again, could I invite you at this time to place your hand around the puppy you have? The red flower puppy is very fragile and needs to be handled gently. And God cares for those who are hurting and those who are sad. Could you at this time please ask God to comfort all who are grieving the loss of someone they love? And finally, could you do one more thing? Place one of your fingers on the center of the puppy. Ask God to help you play your part in working for peace in the world. Remember, you can do small things with great love. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Amen.